Welcome to The Voice of Business, the official podcast of the Chamber of Commerce Hawaii, brought to you by Altrus. I'm your host, Jo McGarry. Today, we have two guests to chat about a subject I think will be very interesting to those of you who are facing the problem that we hear day after day after day right now in business is lack of staff. So if your business is suffering because you can't find enough people to work with you, stay tuned because we have some good news. Our first guest is David Takayama. He's the CIO of Oceanet. He has almost 30 years of management consulting experience, leading technology change and planning to meet business needs. He directs Oceanet's IT group, which is responsible for internal IT operations, security, and corporate strategic planning. He also has experience providing innovative IT problem solving through business process improvements and strategic technical planning. He also has experience leading consulting services, projects, integrating appropriate technology in cross-disciplinary business units to add value to clients and to improve commercialization potential of the technology. Welcome, David. Our second guest is Mark Menard. Mark is the business services coordinator with the City and County of Honolulu. He heads the Quest grant through the American Job Center. Quest is a federal workforce development initiative focused on creating employment pathways for dislocated workers through strategic internship funding. Fueled by a passion for cultural diversity, Mark brings his diverse experience in hospitality, case management, sales, and international relationships to his work at the AGC, connecting Kama'aina to meaningful employment opportunities. Nice to see you.
Great. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It's nice to have both of you here because on that first introduction, we wouldn't think, well, that you have something in common. But in fact, you do have something really great in common. And it's the fact that you are both, we're going to talk today about the Quest program. And I wanted to start with you, Mark, because it's just the problem we hear from everybody in business now is that they just can't find staff. And the Quest program with grants through the American Job Center is doing something about that in a really positive way. Can you give us kind of the overview first and then we'll get into it and we're going to hear firsthand from David what the experience is like?
Yeah, sure. So the Quest grant is a federally funded grant that provides internships to employers. So we say internships because, well, traditionally when you think about an internship, it's really, you think about maybe a high school student or a college student that's being placed with an employer. That's in their career field of interest, right? So they're really there to kind of get some experience, some exposure to that career field. What we're really looking at is using the internship model to really be an audition for those open positions that employers have. So it's an opportunity for the job seeker and the employer to really build a relationship, to be able to really face those challenges, as you were mentioning, about not being able to find workers. And the most common challenge that we are hearing from all industry sectors is that they're not able to find applicants who are, let's say, reliable, mm-hmm. right? Because they're getting a lot of inquiries. They'll call them in for an interview, but they never show up for the interview. Or they might even onboard them, but then they might not show up for their first day of work.
So that's happening all the time. Yeah. And I think post-COVID, we're seeing it just as a matter of course. I mean, I can't tell you how many people tell me that, oh, they never turned up.
Yeah.
You know, a restaurant owner will say, well, we had 15 people lined up for interviews, one turned up.
Right.
What do you guys think that is just in itself?
So, you know, COVID really, it's interesting because it really did shift the playing field of the marketplace of job seekers and employers who are looking for applicants. Because what we think probably happened is that, you know, within 3 years or 2.5, 3 years, people really kind of figured it out, right? They had that opportunity to, those who didn't come back into the workforce, let's say that, you know, people had family obligations or, you know, had to take care of either, you know, their parents or grandparents or their children. And pre-COVID, you know, it was a real struggle because that's expensive. So they felt that they had to work. then they were forced into a situation where everybody came, they were sequestered and everybody had to come home and stay home. And we think that a lot of people just kind of figured it out financially. It's like, you know what? Family is more important. So I'm just going to stay home. Right. And we've got it, you know, we're going to be able to make by. So I think there was definitely that. And then there was other opportunities for people to go into, you know, a lot of the online businesses that were startup, some of the gig economy, right? We talk a lot about that, with Uber Eats and, you know, people doing other things. They had virtual work. So, you know, with all that, there isn't one thing I think that affected, I mean, COVID did, but there was a lot of different factors.
But why do you think it is that they people consistently keep making job interviews and just not turning up? I mean, mm-hmm. Do you guys have any insight into that? Because that's a curious thing that we didn't really see before.
Yeah.
Do you think it's more like they think they have to, and then on the actual date, it's like, well, I don't really.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things going on there. One is for those who are required, you know, as they're applying for unemployment insurance. So one of the requirements is that they do actually go out and find work, right?
That's the thing. Yeah. That's what it is then, obviously.
So it's kind of an obligation thing. Like, yeah, okay, at least I can write down that I did apply to a job. The second thing is, you know, I think there's definitely a generational, I want to say values gap, not a gap, but it's a change, right? Mm-hmm. Definitely, you know, myself growing up and I have a teenage boy, a 16-year-old, and seeing his friends and just looking at the landscape as it is now, right? A lot of younger people have an expectation maybe that is maybe a little unrealistic, where they want to, you know, they see social media and these people who are successful and, you know, they're driving around in you know, expensive cars and have jewelry and all this stuff. And you know, a $15 or $16 hour job isn't going to produce those kinds of things, right? So I think the expectation, the sense of maybe delayed gratification with our young people today, I think, you know, everything's so instantaneous, right?
Yes, with the technology. Right.
Yeah.
I think you're so right. And I think all of us have our theories about why these things are happening, but they actually really are. And the instant gratification thing, you know where I think that first started was, this is not off tangent, by the way, if you're listening, because it's all relevant. I think that started with the TV Food Network, because I noticed, and this is going back a really long time because the TV Food Network has been around for a while, but it was the first time that you were able to see sort of super successful people who had just been working in kitchens, very ordinary jobs, all of a sudden elevated to superstars, and then give it 5-7 years, chefs would start saying to me, I can't believe these people coming in, they think they can just go and be on the television. Yeah. And that was the very first instance that I remember thinking, there is a correlation between seeing people famous in ordinary, which they were ordinary jobs, and thinking, oh, I can do that, then I just need to go and start in a kitchen.
Yeah.
That, you know what, that would be a whole other very interesting conversation.
That's interesting. And plus it's edited down, right? Into it's like you, in 30 minutes, you can create something that's going to be, you know, fabulous. And
just like Instagram's 20 seconds, right?
Attention span is very
so now smart. We have to do a whole other podcast on this, because I do think it has its origins in watching people doing, you know, jobs that weren't considered to be amazing, and then thinking, well, that's easy. I can do that. And then I'll have my own show.
Yeah.
It's interesting. The problem, of course, is that we don't have people who are coming in with an expectation of very long learning times at work and really the hard, grueling, do everything sort of job. So the point of Quest, of course, is to find people who understand or who are going to be given or grateful for a second opportunity to come into the workplace. And we'll come back and go into it deeper. Sure. But I want to bring David in, because you're actually experiencing this at the moment. You have someone working with you on the Quest program, and we'd love to hear how it's working for you and how you found them. But first of all, tell us a little bit about what you do. Tell us about OceanOat.
We're a diversified technology company. We like to refer ourselves as a mind-to-market company. So we come up with all these crazy ideas, and a small percentage of those we like to focus on commercializing them and bringing them to market. So we have a bunch of products, including, we came out with a COVID test kit. So the only FDA approved COVID test kit, you know, made in Hawaii. We have other products. We have coatings on airplanes and other things. We do a lot of different things as well.
So how do you decide which areas you're going to focus on thinking of new ideas from? How does that process happen?
So we like to refer it as a funnel. So we have hundreds of different projects and we have a commercialization team that narrows it down. So we have maybe a very small handful of those are potentially commercializable. And so those that make it through the funnel, we kind of concentrate on trying to commercialize those.
So masses of ideas funneled down into a few that might actually work.
Yeah.
What interesting, amazing work. How did you get into that? Or have you always been a really creative person?
I think the company really focuses on like anybody in the company, regardless of what position they're in, has opportunity to come up with ideas. Or we have a called an innovation fund where we can, anybody in the company can submit it for internal grant funding, where the company will fund you for early level research.
That is so really, really interesting. It must be very fulfilling work that you do every day because you're really using your creative brain, but then you're also using the other parts of your brain where you have to go out and make a business work.
Yeah. It's always doing something different.
What are some of your favorite things that have come to market or even not commercial ideas, just things that have worked that you've been very proud of?
Because I'm really an IT guy focusing on operations, but I wrote a grant to the Department of Energy to use machine vision to help with damage assessments after natural disasters. And yeah, it was kind of fun.
That's so interesting. So the two of you have come together because, tell us how it happened. What went first?
Well, we were looking for a cybersecurity intern and we were having a really hard time. Not that we couldn't find applicants. We couldn't find good applicants. And I was sitting and I'm part of this IT sector partnership group. And I was sitting in a meeting and Vanessa Rogers from the Chamber of Commerce was speaking about what they're doing and their intern programs. And I got really intrigued. And after the meeting, I emailed her right away and said, you know, I'm interested. I'm looking for a cybersecurity intern. Can you help me out? And right away, Vanessa said, oh, I have the perfect person for you. And she sent me a resume and this guy's resume was better than anybody.
That's amazing.
Anybody else that we had. Yeah.
So you knew right away, okay, this is the kind of candidate I'm looking for. And from, so the chamber was kind of the conduit, which is great, which it is for so many amazing things. And then you stepped in, obviously, to make the next part happen.
Yeah, actually, the chamber is actually working with us on this grant, helping us recruit employers. So, you know, through our, we've had different online discussions. And as David said, that he was part of that IT sector online podcast or virtual call. And so, yeah, the Chamber of Commerce has been really a great partner in linking up through their network of membership, their employer memberships, and then also their involvement with Good Jobs Hawaii, which is through the University of Hawaii and their training programs. And I think that's where Joel actually came from, was he went through one of the credentialed training programs, getting an IT certificate. And so the chamber was naturally right. They had the employer and they had the person that was coming out with a certification and we had the grant. So it was perfect.
That is utterly perfect. And how is Joel, your intern, working out?
Oh, he's wonderful. I mean, we called him a super intern because he came in at a level that's higher than typical interns. Very, very mature. Yeah.
And the future for him and for the interns that start in these programs is presumably very bright if they are a fit with the company.
Yeah. So, I mean, the goal of the program and the goal for us when we hire an intern is either we intend to hire them after the internship or we're going to get them ready so that if we can't hire them, somebody else will be able to hire them so that they're prepared.
So typically, I mean, this is the perfect scenario, right? The mm-hmm. perfect test case. What do you need to find more of? Do you need more employers to know what you're doing so that you can place the interns? Because presumably, I mean, there's a lot going on now with getting people into the internship programs. Yeah.
So, you know, the matching process, when we first started, it was kind of a, okay, go out and get participants, and we're going to go out and get employers, and then we're going to see if we can match people. And so what we really found out, that's really kind of inefficient. So what we're doing actually on the participant side is really asking them, where do you want to be placed? Where are the 3 to 5 places that you're looking at online through Indeed or whatever, however you're doing your job search? Name those positions as those employers. We'll go to the employer and we'll present them this grant. And, you know, 98% or 99% of the employers, you know, when they hear about the program, I've yet to hear, you know, a downside, any sort of objection to it. There really is no risk to the employer or the job seeker, and it's really a win-win. And so from the participant standpoint, that's how we're really approaching it, is really trying to place them in the positions that they want to be in and making that connection with the employer. For the employers also, as we're recruiting, rather than waiting around for, you know, that perfect person with that resume to come through, is we're also telling them, look, through your recruiting efforts, if you find somebody that you're considering and you can find out that they're either at least 4 weeks unemployed or that they're underemployed, meaning under 30 hours a week, those are your basic eligibility criteria for our program. If you already know somebody like that, send them to us first. We'll onboard them as an intern and then they can come back, right, and then start their internship with you. So really, again, you know, the outcome goal is really for the participant to be an intern. And then at the end of that internship is to be hired by that employer. That's best case scenario.
Yeah.
Right. But if things don't work out, for example, the position, you know, didn't develop or they don't have a position, at least that person comes away with, you know, up to 6 months of experience that they can now put on a resume. So a great reference, hopefully, right? So that once we do then help them try to find another job, right? They just have more tools in their tool belt.
So David mentioned that when Joel, his intern, arrived, he was just overly qualified. Like, he just seemed like such a great fit. What are you doing at Quest to prepare the intern? So when you're doing onboarding, what does that involve?
Yeah, so when we're onboarding a participant, it's really trying to find out what their interests are, again, so that we can try to find a good employer to match them up with. There's a lot of paperwork that's involved. Of course, it's like any other government program. There's tons of paperwork, but it's really, you know, having that discussion with the participant and really finding out what their needs are.
And David, as an employer, obviously, listening to the chamber talking about the program, it instantly attracted you because you knew what you were looking for. What would you say to other employers listening that the benefits are? Just describe your experience of, you know, having someone, not even the fact that he's so well qualified, but what are some of the benefits that you could share?
I mean, the first thing, I did not expect that this would be a paid grant, you know? I mean, so the program basically is a paid internship for up to 6 months, and the grant pays for him. So we don't have to pay anything, but, you know, as an employer, there's a lot of cost because we want that intern to get something out of it as well as we. So, you know, so it has to be that match. So we set objectives for the intern and objectives for us. We meet with the intern and make sure that they both match, and we set those goals. So it's a two-way street. But to address your question, I think it's the long game that employers should look at, because these positions, like cybersecurity positions, these technology positions, are not easy to find. And, you know, we're trying to cultivate this next generation of workforce for these technical positions, and you know, having interns to do that is a great way to do that.
And I think generally just having the experience, like having a voice of someone who's doing it and living it, because a lot of people are they think, oh, I can't have an intern in my business, you know. Well, first of all, because they think they can't pay, but as you just thankfully pointed out, that they are paid by the grants. But the second thing is people think, oh, intern, lot of time, lot of explaining, I can do it better myself. Being able to have someone like you say, no, they come at a high level, they come prepared, I think is really important, right? Because there is this sort of, this kind of prejudice that, oh, it's going to just take me such a long time, right?
No, absolutely.
How do you get over that? I mean, obviously the grant helps mm-hmm. tremendously, and that's awesome that it's there. But do you find you have to explain to people, look, this is really high quality program?
Yeah. So again, you know, when we say that word intern, right, and internship, you know, when I do, when I'm talking with employers, I really have to air quote that, and because it really explained to it, because an internship, I know that a lot of businesses have had maybe an experience with an internship, and like I was saying, right, it could be a high school student, it could be a recent college graduate. So on the very worst experience spectrum, right, we have, it becomes a babysitting session, right? It becomes just somebody who's there just kind of observing, right? On the other end, and that's where we're at, is really, again, it's an audition, right? So it's, we're using the internship model as an audition. So you get the chance to, again, build that relationship with an applicant so that, you know, as David said, onboarding costs are huge for employers. To, you know, onboard somebody and then have them quit after a couple months, right? I know that that's the experience of a lot of employers now. And again, what this grant allows the job seeker and employer to do is build that relationship to make sure that for the job seeker, yes, right, it is the job that I thought it was. The movie in my head matches the actual reality. And then, right, that so they like the environment, they like the employer, they like the people that they work with. And then for the employers, it gives them opportunity to actually see the applicant perform the job duties, right? That they are reliable and competent and they're professional and all those things that they are looking for in an ideal employee, right? And then, so to be able to establish that relationship and then for them to be able to hire, that's going to really address their retention challenges that all employers are having right now. So that's what we're aiming for, is having a person come in again as an intern to really audition.
You have to find a different word, right? You can't spend the next 2 years just doing air quotes.
But it's, you know, we've used, you know, kind of it's a chance to test drive somebody, right? To kick the tires before you buy.
And I would think for employers, and you can attest to this, David, that, I mean, just the time saving alone in, you know, we mentioned at the beginning, sometimes people have set up 15 interviews and no one turns up. That is not a small amount of work for somebody. Did you find that too, that just having somebody there that had already been recommended was just a huge relief?
Yeah, because we actually did go through interview process and we couldn't find anyone that was, there were candidates, definitely. We couldn't find the right candidate. After one interview.
you knew immediately. Yeah, we knew. What would you say, Mark, that, what do you have more need for? Employers, I'm thinking, is the thing, but do you need engagement from both? Like employers listening right now, do we want them to contact you and say, listen, this sounds great, I really do need someone. But at the same time, do we want the applicants as well? Do you need more? Which area are you lacking?
Yeah, absolutely. From both sides, you know, So the American Jobs, our basic mission is to connect job seekers with employers. So we're working with both. And for this grant, you know, we still have plenty in the coffers to spend. So, you know, we are definitely looking for more participants, more employers. You know, since we started this in September, we had a really great start, and you know, it's a good problem to have, but we were actually playing some catch up. Because we were kind of inundated with so much interest in it, participant-wise, and we didn't have the employers to really even make any kind of matches, which is why we went back to the participants and say, hey, where do you want us to go? Which employers do you want us to place you with? Because again, you know, there's really no downside to becoming a partner and participating in the Quest grant. So yes, we're continuously recruiting from both sides. We have the need for both.
And people can contact you directly if they're employers. Tell us how to do that, and then we'll have the information on the website.
Okay. My quickest way would be through my email, which is mark.menard, and that's spelled M-E-N as in Nancy, A-R-D as in David, @honolulu.gov. Or they can contact me directly. Phone number is 808-768-5784.
And if people want to contact you because they have a brilliant idea at your company. Do you do that? Do you just, wherever you go, do people say to you, well, I have such a great idea, David, you should listen to this?
We do. Well, we listen to anybody, but we like to partner with different people and companies. Yeah.
And we can reach you, obviously, through your company website. Yeah,
or my email address, David Takeyama. So it's dtakeyama, T-A-K-E-Y-A-M-A, at oceanet.com.
Thank you. And as always, when you are receiving this podcast, however you receive it, there is always information attached to it. You can go to the Chamber of Commerce website also and see the information about the podcast there, and it will have all the details. If you're an employer, really, as Mark said, there's no downside to this because you are being paid to have someone come and see if they're a great fit for up to 6 months. And I think I wanted to add too, just at the end, that we didn't emphasize a lot, but it really does apply to people who've been out of work. So the people who are not confident, who are thinking, gosh, I haven't worked for so long, they're absolutely some of the people you want to talk to.
Yeah, this is actually would be a perfect opportunity for them because there's no risk, right? For both the employer and the participant. For the employer, they're not obligated to keep them for a certain amount of time. If things don't work out on both ends, right? It's okay. Well, let's go look at the next thing. So, it really is no risk to the participant or the employer because there really is an obligation. So even at the participant, if they come on, they're like, I'm not ready yet, or it's really not, I'm standing too many hours a day or whatever it is, right? If it's just not a good fit, it's no skin off anybody's nose. We'll move on to the next thing.
We would love to catch up with you in some months to come to see, first of all, if you have any more interns that turn out to be as great as Joel and how it's going. And also just to see how the program's going, because it's going to be really interesting to see it, 8 months in, a year in, just to see how people are responding. And hopefully employers really do realize it's a great opportunity. Thank you both for coming in. That was really fun to talk to you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Voice of Business, the official podcast of the Chamber of Commerce Hawaii, brought to you by Altruis. Join us next time for more stories of business in Hawaii.